Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, God, that on a day like this, and as we come into your presence like we did this morning, it's such an amazing blessing, Father, to know that you're with us, to know, Lord, that we can have this intimacy with you, Lord, by the blood of your Son, God. We thank you, God, that for just everything that you've prepared for us, even today, Lord, our desire, Lord, is to grab a hold of everything, Lord, every good work, every blessing that you have prepared for us today and every day, Lord. We thank you that as we do that, Lord, as we grab a hold of that, as we live life to the full, as we live in that abundance of life that Christ died for, Lord, we know your name will be glorified, Lord. We know your kingdom will come in and through our lives, God. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And we, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and be the teacher, Lord. Come and lead us into all truth, God. Come and show us your heart, God. Come and inspire us with your word and with your presence, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. I need to watch the time. Okay. I just want to thank everybody. I haven't actually had a good chat with you since the camp or since the conference. We were in Switzerland where we also had an awesome time. I must say it was a great blessing. And although we did take with us the latter part of this tummy bug, we took it as a blessing to Switzerland. I don't know if they received it as a blessing, but shame that. So a few of us were not feeling well, and then a couple of the guys from Switzerland had it the next week. So shame that wasn't ideal. But praise the Lord, even through that, we had an amazing time. As we did on this side, and I want to thank everybody that made it and made it special and was able to join us. And coming from a time like that, it's just such a blessing, you know, spending time in the presence of God like that and coming away from a weekend like that. I don't know about you, but one of the things that is so strong and so powerful in my mind at that stage in my spirit is just that God is with us. You know, that coming into his presence, joining together, experiencing that, worshiping together. On the Sunday night, we had a time of worship and ministry, and there were some ladies there volunteering at Oak Hall from Italy, and they were in the front with their smartphones videoing the band. And I had to chat with them afterwards, and they were so excited because they were used to worshiping like that, but they hadn't been for a while because at Oak Hall things are very chilled. You know, they worship like that. So they were so happy to see us, and they were so excited. But it was such an awesome time, and I think it's so important that coming from that place, we really take with us what God has imparted to us. So I want to encourage you guys, as soon as the sessions are available, you download them, have a listen to them. Those on the campus, as well as the one from Andres 2 weeks ago, key messages that we need to, if you haven't managed to listen to them, please do. I actually need to catch up on one or two from the camp because I was on child duty. But what a blessing. So this morning, I want us to look a bit, look back a little bit, and I want us to look forward quite a lot as well. And if we're looking backwards, firstly, looking in terms of where we're coming from, Shofar started in the southern tip of Africa near Stellenbosch near Cape Town in 1992. Pastor Fred May and Lucille, his wife, they right from the start were living a prophetic message. You know, they mixed race couple, which in South Africa is at that stage almost still illegal. They just changed the law just before they got married, so praise God for that. They're legally married. But right from the start, there was the prophetic was strong and worship was strong in what God was doing amongst us. And I joined in 1999 when I went down to Stellenbosch when I was in the Air Force and studying engineering. And in terms of personally, two of the things that struck me when I first joined Shofar, the first time I went, actually, to be honest, I was basically half dead from sleep deprivation as being a first year in the residence. So to be really honest, I had a really good sleep, but that was about it. I didn't have much more. I was wondering why this black guy was going on forever. I was like, coming home and sleep. But in any case, my powerful thing is, next time I walked through the doors, the Holy Spirit really just said to me, this is your home. This is it. This is where I want you to be. And the big things that struck me was the presence of God in worship and pursuing the kingdom of God, the purpose of God for your life, but as a body corporately. And it was the first time in Shofar that I really became a member out of my own choice of a church. And I submitted to leadership, and I experienced the blessing of submitting to a leadership and submitting to a vision and pursuing the purpose of God together with other believers. And that was, since till today, that is a powerful, powerful impact on my life. Then in the year 2000, I came to London, to the UK. There was no Shofar then. And it was in the time when I was in the UK then, living in London, that God spoke to me about being in ministry. And God called me into the ministry. And I remember powerful, powerful times with God. God had me walk the streets of London praying for souls, praying for nations, praying for this nation. And when I think about it now, it's actually profound, because I mean, it's weird that God had brought me here to call me to ministry, and then 10 years later sent me here again with my family. And I remember specifically a few key moments, and one of those was walking the streets in London, and just literally as a 21-year-old, you know, person, guy, I'm having a conviction to pray, and I just walking down the street, in the streets, the Holy Spirit would take me. And I remember at one stage, it's as if the Lord kind of lifted me up in a spiritual sense, and I was almost as I could see the city from the top. And in terms of prayer, and it was such a powerful moment, because I was so aware of the presence of God. I was so aware of the heart of God for not only the city, but the nation. And I was so excited in my spirit for what God wanted to do in this nation. And I'll touch on that a little bit later again, but one of the things that excited me the most was the nations from all over the world that were right here in the UK, that come here and are more easily reached here and discipled here than in their own country. But such a massive, really, in terms of my personal life with God, my time in the UK in 2000 was a massive watershed. And that conviction of God is with us, and God's heart for this nation, and God's heart for, and His presence and His kingdom coming right here, has really been rekindled in the last couple of months. And part of what I'm doing today is we've been praying for the last couple of months. We've been seeking God. We've specifically been praying about, Lord, show us again, remind us again, show us again, what is your heart for us here, for being right here? What is your purpose for us being here? Show us again, remind us, rekindle that fire for your purposes and your kingdom coming in and through us here. And so this is basically this morning. I'm just kind of wanted to bring a lot of those, what came out of that time of prayer. I want to bring a lot of that together, and next week we get a bit more practical. So Shofar UK got going in 2003. Also, a funny story. I was preparing, because I'd just been there recently and, you know, kind of knew my way around London. I was very keen, and I was preparing to lead a mission team to come over, as we do mission teams. And so I was preparing that, very excited, ready to run. And then CEO spoke to me, he was in charge of missions, and he said, you know what, Jaco, Andries is going to take this mission team. You know, I want you to take the one to Pretoria. So I said, no worries, you know, okay, I can do that. I know Pretoria as well, having grown up there. But funny enough, so I was already kind of preparing for that, but then Andries, Pastor Andries, who was to bring the mission team a few weeks before bringing it coming, Pastor Fred said, listen, it's going to have to be a long one. It's going to have to be at least 6 weeks. And then literally nights, one or two nights before they've got on the airplane, it turned into long term. It turned into not 6 weeks, but months. And when they actually arrived, they stayed for 7 years. Anyway, so things changed very quickly, and things got going. Pastor Sias visited before Andries, and then Andries and them came in the middle of the year, and that was where Shofar came to the UK. And right from the start, there was the idea was exactly that thing that I was so excited about, is the fact that the nations are here. The nations are here in the UK. And we have a heart for nations. We as Shofar have been called to reach nations. We as Christians have been called to reach nations. But as Shofar, as a family, as mandate that we have from Christ, from God, is very much to reach nations and generations. Okay, so very exciting. But interestingly enough, from the start, the largest amount of people in church were South Africans. Okay. And we had that incredible family atmosphere. And there's a few people here that were able to hear from the right from the start, were able to tell you the people, church was family. You know, you're far from your own family. You know, you're far from home. You're far from your cultural heritage and the food that you enjoy or whatever. And the church was family. And right from the start, we were blessed with this incredible family vibe, but an incredible gift of being family to one another. And funny enough, whenever people come to visit any of our congregations here, they still recognize that. So that is something very powerful that God has done amongst us right from the start. People recognize that there's an anointing and a blessing to care for one another. I don't know, you can ask maybe the newish people, touch on them. Is it still there? But, you know, it's such a blessing, because we must recognize it's something that God does, okay? It's not something we can manufacture, but also something we can decide to, yes, we want to run with this. We want to be that family, okay? We'll look at that again later. Another thing that was happening is worship was key from the start. There was a strong element of worship happening, and there was an anointing in worship in the presence of God. Now, I remember Andries mentioning to me also his frustration at having just South Africans and him having to deal with, this is what God was doing. So, you know, okay, this is who God is sending. So don't be frustrated. Don't despise what God is doing, but, you know, celebrate what God is doing. And at one stage, in that pursuit of reaching nations and wanting to reach nations beyond South Africans, which is also good, the congregation in Tooting was planted, basically on the doorstep of St. George's Hospital and the campus there. And amazingly, right from the start also, there we saw the potential of London. Nations from all over, people representing nations from all over the place were there. And I remember the first time going to a Tooting service and being so blessed with looking across the crowd and seeing like tribes and tongues and peoples and nations represented there. And we're like, this is what it's about. You know, this is part of the reason why we are here. And that's not that long after that, Shofar Weybridge was established. Hallelujah. We're all happy about that. And we started off in Weybridge in the hall, the Weybridge Hall. And a couple of years later, we moved to this hall. And again, what we've experienced all through those three church plants, we experienced a lot of favor on various levels, but also a lot of opposition on other levels. And I'm going to share with some of them with you a bit later on. But the blessing of God was visible, especially through provision. What I didn't put in there is somewhere between 2009 and 2011, we planted the church, or the school, okay, so the nursery that we have in Rains Park. And it's almost like planting a church, I want to just mention. If you ever want to do that, it's quite hard. But the Lord has really been faithful. And now we have incredible fruit from the school. There's some parents here that would agree with me that not only the standard of what's happening there, but also the feedback we get from the parents and the ministry that's happening there. I mean, we've had people healed, parents pray for children and parents. When teachers pray for children and parents, people get healed, you know. But children go home and pray for their families. And then the parents are like, okay, what do we do with this child that is now? But no, it's really powerful what God is doing there. And then also we started with Switzerland fellowship camps in terms of looking for opportunity as Shofar globally, not only Shofar UK, but Shofar globally to plant churches in Europe. Sure, that's very brief history, and I'm sure you can add a lot, but a few key things that I want to pull out here is that throughout this, and funnily enough, I was involved right at the beginning, and in 2009, I was here, came through very briefly on the way to Switzerland in terms of what was happening there, and then obviously from 2010. But a few key things were the presence of God in worship and the key of worship, the family feel and the blessing of family and caring for one another, but also at the same time, the heart to reach nations, the heart to go beyond our own doorstep. Okay, let's move on. I'm gonna try and touch as much as this is possible, and then next week we're going to get more practical. So basically, I'm going to look at what is God saying to us right now. Where is He taking us from here? And also, I'm going to look at the life of David. This has come up quite a few times in our prayer, and it's very exciting. It's funny that Andres also he mentioned some of the life of David, King David, in the Bible, in his sermon 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to use his life to parallel and to illustrate some of the things that we're going through. And once or twice specifically in our intercession, this is if the Lord showed us how we can learn as a congregation, we can take a lot from the life of David, okay, in terms of where we're at. All right, so let's go on to the next one. We go one forward. Okay, well, there's a lot there. Let's quickly look at 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king amongst his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name you." Very specific. The one I will name. The one I will show you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, saying, "Do you come peaceably?" It's a funny picture for me. In any case. But it's good, hey? The fear of the Lord. If Samuel comes to town, it's either good news or bad news, but hopefully good. "Okay, do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Let's just go on. And David spoke to the men. Whoops. No. I've missed one. Here we go. No. Oh, man. Okay, sorry, guys. I'm going to read it from the other bit. Okay. Sorry about that. Just bear with me. It's still the Bible. I'm just going to read it from here. Excuse me. Just a moment. Okay. Can somebody get me a tissue, please? I've got a small one here. I need some more. Okay, verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked. Oh, thank you. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." This is the oldest son. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made Shammah pass by and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. It must be hectic if you have that many sons and it's like, okay, it's not this one. Well, you got another one. Anyway, so he made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." So by that time he was in tune, okay? And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "And send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord says, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Now, just a few things from there. Right from the start, it seems David was an unlikely choice. Okay, now this guy had, it seems, is it eight sons? And apparently some of them were like the obvious choice, but David was not the obvious choice. David was not the likely one. And when we look at where we are right now, right here in the UK, Shofar in the UK, the two congregations, some might say, if one were to look as Samuel did the first few times, as man does, it will seem that there's a limitation to what we are able to accomplish in terms of numbers and in terms of possibilities. Okay. But the key here, guys, and what I want us to do today is to choose to look as Samuel had to choose to say, okay, I can't look now in the flesh. I can't look as man does. I need to look as God does. Because God looks differently. Okay. And he had picked David from among many to be his anointed and to be his for a specific purpose, and anointed him for a specific purpose, for a specific job, as he did the prophets, etc. But I have a conviction, as strongly as the day that I walked the streets of London and had that conviction about God calling me personally to the ministry, and having him having me pray for the nation and pray for salvations and pray for just walking the streets, my conviction of God having placed us here has never been stronger than it is right now. As understanding that God has called us to be here and he's giving us a mandate. And although I meet with church leaders from all the different parts and in Wimbledon as well, some of the guys have been around for 30 odd years and they're huge. Okay, they're doing really well and the Lord is blessing them. And it's easy for us to say, wow, why are we here? But I want to say to you that God, as he has chosen David, as he, all the big guys and the strong men and the most obvious choices, but God says, this one, this is the one, anoint him. And I will say to you that God has anointed us and He has put us here to do His will and to obey His will for a very specific reason, okay? And so don't look at it as the man does. I mean, this is key for us, and this is crucial for us in this season. I'm not so worried about what other people think, but I'm worried. I'm really trusting that we would catch this today, as Samuel had to look at what God sees and listen to what He's saying. Amen. Okay, let's go forward. Let me get back that one back. All right, I'm going to quickly look at one or two bits here from where David took on Goliath. I'm just going to speak about one or two key things there, and then we're going to look at a little bit more practically what God is telling us now. Sorry. I hope it's on the recording. Okay, verse 26 there from 1 Samuel 17. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him. Now, just quickly context, David's not really on the battlefield. He's only 15. Okay, so he's not on the battlefield. He's tending sheep for his father, doing his duty. His brothers are out there on the battlefield, so he gets sent to go and take them some food, etc. And he arrives there, and the situation is like this. For 40 days, they've been having a standoff, the armies of the Philistines, the armies of Israel. And this guy, Goliath, this massive giant. Now, this is not just a big guy. This is a giant, okay? This is, you can go read the measurements. It's quite scary. But I just read it again recently, and I realized 40 days. 40 days. You know how they say 40 days is how long it takes to get a habit, to either bad habit or good one, but to get out of a bad one or to get into a good one, it takes about 40 days, right? 40 days this guy has been swearing at God and coming morning and evening and challenging them, saying, listen, who's going to take me on? If anybody can kill me, then you will become your slaves. But if I take you out, then you will be our slaves. You know, and he's been doing this day, morning and evening for 40 days. And I guess what? Nobody's going to take him on. Okay, if it didn't happen by day 3, I reckon by day 40, this is not a good situation. Are you with me? So this is the situation David comes into. By day 40, I mean, the Israelites must have been in such fear and trembling. They can't see any way out of this. They can't see any. They're going to go down, and they're going to be the slaves of the Philistines. And this guy is just day in and day out, just blaspheming and swearing and just taking, you know, just speaking, you know, all these horrible things over, you know, towards God and towards the Israelites, okay? Now he comes onto the scene, and he hears what's going on, and says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, and saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Okay, now he's benefiting from a fresh perspective, okay, coming from the outside. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence, the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? I just want to pause there for briefly. There are two things that were happening here, and we're going to look at the first one is the response of David's family, his own people. And then later we're going to look at Goliath's response, okay? But now, this is David's brother. He's saying, who are you? What are you doing? You know, he's upset, he's angry at him. And sadly, when we arrived here, not from everywhere, but there were parts of the body of Christ that received us in this way. Why not blessed? Okay, why do we need another church? Okay, they say if you want to plant a church, you need a thick skin and a good sense of humor. So I had some meetings with church leaders not so long ago, actually, and the guys literally just asked, why do we need another church in this town? And it's so easy if you don't have the conviction that of God's call, it's so easy that when your brother comes to you and say, "Why are you here?" to kind of think, "Oh, geez, maybe I should go back to the sheep." You know, maybe you're right. So there was that aspect. And it's very easy to allow the enemy to minister to you through fellow Christians if you're not confident and have the conviction of God's call and God's purpose. Amen. This was really random that this happened. But on a Thursday evening, now I remember I've only been here since 2010. Andries had his own set of challenges when he arrived. He in Wimbledon, there was some resistance, and then through lots of hard work and relationship building, now we've got really good relationship with most churches, in a certain sphere. And but coming this way again, there was lots of challenges. And Andries, I remember him wanting to join with the churches together in Weybridge for a picnic, which is not a very tense doctrinal affair, you know. But it was not possible for us to join the picnic, you know. And now recently I've been connecting with the guys. And like I said, the guys have straight asked me, you know, why do we need to be here? But then a thing happened on Thursday night, which I believe is prophetically very powerful. Is that there's a team of Koreans here, part of a group of 400 Koreans that have come to pray in the UK. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? Guys from a different country paying their own way to come and intercede for our nation. Very powerful. Most of them don't speak English, but we prayed up a storm on Thursday evening. But so we were at Emmanuel Church, and this group of guys were there, and there were representatives from a couple of the churches in the area. And the first point on the agenda was church unity for us to pray for. And out of the blue, and I wasn't feeling very well, but I felt I must go there. And I said, and I let the guys know, whoever wants to join, you're welcome to. But I was just kind of, I didn't want to just sit at the back, but then this guy was coordinating. He made me sit right in the front. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, just, you know, keep my nose under control. And then suddenly, the guy was leading the prayer, just had me stand up. And he said, and he repented. And he said, when you came into the community, we did not receive you. And he repented in front of everybody there. And then he prayed. And he gave me a big hug. And I was like, okay. Because obviously we're kind of dealing with it. And we're, you know, doing the thick skin thing and just kind of serving the body as much as we can. But I believe, even though maybe not all the church leaders were there, that was a very significant thing that happened right there. It's as if there's something has shifted in the spirit, and I believe is really significant. Okay, so firstly, the response from his own guys wasn't very positive, and he had to persist through that under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, under the conviction of this is not on, this is what God wants to happen right here. I'm here for a reason. Who's this guy, you know, and type of thing. Let's quickly go on. There, verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand. Now, okay, this is after he's persisted through his brothers. He's spoken to Saul. Saul wanted to give him his armor, didn't fit, was too heavy, could barely walk. And he says, "Listen, leave this stuff. I'm just gonna go with what I'm comfortable with. I'm gonna go with what I have in my hand. What I know God has blessed me with. I know how to use this stuff, and I'm gonna use this." Okay. He took staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began to draw near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with the sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And David did something very positive, powerful there. When we advance the kingdom, guys, in any setting, the kingdom of darkness is going to come against us. Amen? It's inevitable, right? And David did something very powerful, and we still do this whenever we go to mission, whenever we cross a border on a mission trip, whenever we enter a new country, we stand still, we take hands, and we pray, and we make a declaration to all anybody that would listen. The forces of darkness, the local demons, the local principalities and powers. And this is basically what we say. We say, we come in the Lord, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, as he said. Yeah, but we say it, we make a declaration, say, this is in the name, in whose name we come. And we come with his purpose. And we come in his name. And we see here that this, for me, this is where David already defeated him. Because he said to him, listen, you don't understand something. I don't come with this physical stuff. I come with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I come in the name of the Lord, the name above every other name. I come in the name of the King of Kings. I come representing the King of Kings. There's a powerful moment right there. Let's look quickly to finish here. Okay. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. So he goes on, he explains to him what's going to happen, okay? This day the Lord, now he's 15, okay, remember this, he's 15, he's not very big. He's explaining to this giant what's going to happen. I come to you in the name of the Lord. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can you see what's on his heart? It's not David. It's not David's glory that he's after. Can you see that? Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save by the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came near and drew near to meet David. Now this must have become to get a bit scary. I reckon the ground was probably trembling a little bit because this guy was going to, come in close. So, but if any time David must have been a bit afraid, maybe it was here. But look what he does. He doesn't slow down, okay? He starts running. That David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. Okay, I'm running out of time, but I want to just pull out these two things here. Okay, so when we take on the enemy, and as we take on the mandate that God gives us in this country, and that's what we're going to look at now. What is God telling us to do right now? Where is He pointing us to? A chauffeur in the UK. This is the only way to do it. Amen. There's no place of, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it's better there at the sheep. It's more comfortable there. Although that's where he learned. He killed the lion and the bear. You know, maybe this is not my place. Maybe my brothers are right. Maybe we shouldn't be here. No, he says, let me explain to you how this works. I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. And this morning, guys, I'm trusting for us, for each of us here, to have that revelation that you and I are here in the name of the Lord of hosts. In the name of the King of Kings. There's no other reason. If you hear, because you got a good job in the UK, or I don't know what, whatever reason, I've got good news for you. That it might be the initial reason why you thought you were here, but you are here because the Lord, the King of the universe, has placed you here. He's shown you here. He's put you here. And he's anointed you and I, to do his will. And the boldness which David has here to explain to this giant exactly how this is going to work, that's the boldness that I believe God for us. There's no looking over my shoulder, maybe I should be with the sheep, maybe I should be in that country, maybe I should be that, maybe I should be in that job, maybe I should be there. No. Let me explain to you. Let's face the challenges, face the situations. So let me explain to you how this is going to work. The Lord is going to deliver you into our hands. Amen. So there's a place of boldness I believe God is bringing us into, taking the man that it is giving us and giving us boldness to run with that. Let's go forward. I'm just going to give you a little bit more practical. Okay. So the three main things that has come out in our prayers. Okay. Firstly, God is calling us to be a church in the neighborhood, but also with the heart for the nations. So neighborhood to nation. So he's calling us to be a local church with our firmly in the local community. And that means getting our hands dirty. That means serving locally. That means building relationship with churches. Hallelujah. You know, walking side by side, shoulder to shoulder with our brothers in Christ, seeking the kingdom of God right here, right in this place. Amen. So whether it be in Weybridge, whether it be in London, we are congregation, wherever we might have congregations going forward, local community, in the local neighborhood. But at the same time, God is calling us to lift up our eyes. Amen. God is calling us to see what the beyond. Okay, when we look at the Great Commission, Jesus says, he said to them to take the gospel into all the world. But then he says, Jerusalem, right there. But he says, Judea, the surrounding area, Samaria, across cultural boundaries and, you know, different race boundaries, and to the ends of the earth. So he explains, listen guys, it starts in your neighborhood, but it ends with the nations. Amen? That's where we have our eyes. I mean, we're firmly in the local neighborhood, but at the same time, we've got our eyes on the harvest, which is here, and it extends to the nations. I mean, that's so. I know some guys get nervous when things are difficult at home, and we're still looking to plant churches. Some people can't understand. But guys, I want to give you maybe bad news. It will always be like that, okay? Because that's the heart of the Father. You cannot only look after your own neighborhood. Amen? So we've got neighborhood, but we've also got nations. I'm just going to quickly, if we want to go to the next slide. We're going to go back soon. Sorry. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So that's the picture. We start with that household. A family, that blessing that God gives us, a family, okay, the local community, that's where we start, amen. So we're not detached, we don't isolate ourselves, we're not an island here, we want to be in it, okay, and we have to get better at that, okay. So especially in Weybridge, in London we've been around a bit longer, so we got our hands here and there, but in Weybridge and in surround, Walton, Hersham, Cobham, etc., we're going to have to trust God for that. Get in there. What are the needs? What's happening? Become part of the household, the local community. And then the next one, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So I feel God is saying, in the local community, but lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to see the harvest in your community. And lift up your eyes to see the nations beyond. Amen. So until Jesus comes back, we will be making disciples locally and we will be looking to plant churches. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's go back. Okay, so the second one is there. We're called to care. I've tried to make it very short so you can all memorize these three. Okay. If you can go back to the making it difficult. Okay, Tuma, no, go forward. It's good. Thanks, Jean-Louis. Make it difficult for you. Okay, the second one is called to care. I want us to be able to memorize these three, and then if you ever forget what one of them is about, I'm going to give you something to go and read again, okay? So in terms of call to care, this is also where we can look at the life of David, right? When he was running, fleeing from Saul, the people that came to him and joined up with him were the lost people, the losers and the riffraff and the fringe people from the society. And he received them, okay? And it wasn't like it was funny. It was a funny stage for him because he was fleeing, okay? But that heart of caring for the whosoever's is what I believe God wants us to have. And that might not mean only the down and outs, and it might not mean only the poor in terms of physical stuff, but often socially, mentally, in whatever way somebody needs to be cared for, God has called us to care for people. Amen. So I'm going to read Psalm 68, 5 and 6. Father to the fatherless, defender of the widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Guys, this is part of, this is what we're here for. We're going to look out for, you know, the scriptures that came through when we were praying is go to the highways and byways. Go where nobody else is looking. Go to those that are in desperate need. Again, I had the conviction, it's not only physical need. There's some that are lonely. Maybe they're well off, but they're lonely. There are some that are on the fringes. Maybe, again, not physically, only physically deprived, but that needs, that are vulnerable people. Amen. Next, we're going to look at a little bit of what that means for us locally. But I feel God is calling us to care for people, not only for ourselves, not only amongst ourselves, but to translate that same blessing of family and that same caring for one another into the community around us and to the vulnerable. Okay, next one. Okay, I made them short, eh? Short and easy, yeah? We are called to launch leaders. I had these pictures where we pray, pictures of a launch pad, pictures of like a rocket taking off. Okay, now again, you look at the life of David and you see him drawing all those people to him, the unlikely characters, the unlikely choice. They were all there. The guys that were defaulting on their houses and, you know, in debt. And go and read that stuff. Maybe I'll get around to reading all of those scriptures next week. But those guys came to him. But guys, the anointing that David had in his life meant that after a couple of years coming into the purposes of God, these guys were called the mighty men of David. Those unlikely characters, those ordinary people, those dodgy, type of guys, they were transformed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit into the mighty men. Go and read about their exploits. It's funny because it's ridiculous what those guys did. Go and read it. It reads like a Marvel comic, or it's literally like superhuman stuff these guys did, accomplished under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I feel God is calling us to do. He's calling us to take the whosoever's, whoever will come, those that are marginalized, including the unlikely choices, and to put them onto God's path and into His purpose, and to see them launch into their destiny in Christ. Amen. And that will mean, guys, is that we're going to be sending people, and we've gotten used to that already, but we're going to be sending people into all the world from this place. We're going to be equipping leaders. We're going to be pouring ourselves into people, and we're going to be launching them into their destiny. Amen. And this sounds like, wow, big and huge and out there, but this starts with you and your friends and small group. That's where it starts. When we look at each other and we do not see the issues. You don't see Yaku struggling with this and that. We do see that, and we work with that, and we hold ourselves accountable. But we also see the greatness that God has put in each one of us, and we encourage that. We say, "I look at that. I recognize the hand of God in your life, and I encourage you in that. And I want to see you launch into the purposes of God as a husband, as a father, as a mother, and whatever God has called you to do. I want to see you flourish in that." Amen. So that's a key part that God wants us to do. Hebrews 13:20-21. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, a great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that, I feel, is kind of the essence of part of that, is that to see people be made complete in the good work that he has called them to do in the season that they are with us. Amen. So wherever somebody comes from, wherever they join us in, that when they come into our family, that we seek and trust God and walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit to see them become complete in every good work. Amen. So that means we do foundation, we do spiritual growth series, we do Bible school, we make disciples, we invest in people, and we know we want to be sending them to wherever God wants them to be. If they're here for a season, hallelujah, but wherever God wants them to be, wherever God wants us to be, we launch people into that. Amen. Okay, I need to finish. Okay, well, I should have put a different thing at the end there. Let's leave it there. Okay. Let's stand this morning. Okay, there's no significance to those. That's the template. I should have deleted that. Okay, I just want to, while we stand and pray, I want us to look at two or three key things that from the life of David, just as we close. And one of them is David was operating from intimacy with God. He's a worshiper. Worship was absolutely key in his life. So this is one of the things, guys, we're going to have to trust God for, because it's going to take a miracle. I mean, where we're at now in the region, it's so funny. It's ironic. This is, I suppose, how God works. Is when we're at our weakest in a certain area, God says, this is going to be key. This is going to be the most important thing. Okay. You guys can come up so long. And I know I won't like this, but I believe Natasha and Ben are like an answer to prayer for that. And it's just amazing. I spoke to somebody else recently. They're from Pretoria. They just randomly contacted me and said they want to come to Europe. They've both been very involved in worship in Pretoria. They have a heart to come. They're going to be working in the Netherlands for a while, but they're making themselves available to come and minister here, you know. So I don't know how that will pan out yet. If I have anything to do with it, they're going to be here longer than they thought. But, you know, I don't know that. What God is showing me is that he's responding to our faith. As we say, God, we're trusting you because we know you're saying this is key. So we're putting out our faith. We're asking you, send them. Send the musicians, send the worshippers, send whoever needs to come, because this is key. Okay, so David was operating from a place of intimacy and a place of worship. And please go and listen to Fred and Andres' messages specifically on the camp and that place of intimacy that he came from. And then secondly, as I mentioned, he operated from a place of conviction. The Spirit of the Lord God Almighty is on me. Amen. And just that boldness in a 15-year-old boy to explain to the giant how things are going to work Guys, I believe God was giving us the same boldness. And the season of looking over our shoulder or looking ahead, maybe I'll be there in a couple of months, or maybe I'll be there, or maybe that's what God has for us. I really feel God is saying, here, you're on a battlefield right now. Don't look around. You're going to get killed. Okay? That's how it works in the battlefield. You can't be not focused. And have that same attitude as David had. Yes, I come from the sheep, maybe, or maybe I've got somewhere else that God is calling me. But right now, I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm coming in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take anything down that's going to come at me because I'm walking in the purpose of God. Whatever giant will try and stop me, I'm going to explain to them how things work. Amen. Intercession is going to be key. When we look at those things next week, practically what it means to us. For us. I'm going to pray now. Do you guys need this mic? Okay, no, you're all right for now. I mean, let's pray. Father, we humbly come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word for us. And we thank you, God, that we can stand here, Lord. I can stand. And we thank you, Lord, for the absolute conviction that you have called us to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit on every soul in this place, God. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing of the Holy Spirit on the shofar churches in the United Kingdom as your vessel and your a part of your greater body, part of your plan, as one of the weapons in your arsenal, Father, for your kingdom to come in this nation, God. We know we're not the only one, but Lord, we are definitely called. You have put us here. You've placed us here. You've planted us here in this nation, and you've anointed us. You've given us a mandate. You've put something in our hands, God. Lord, we, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for the blessings that you've put in our hand. We thank you for what you've given us, Lord, and we thank you that as we get practical next week, you're going to open our eyes to see what you've blessed us with, Lord, to see how that pans out practically, Lord. But this morning, God, we look to you, God, in the name of Jesus, and we say, Lord, we receive that boldness that comes from your Spirit in the name of Jesus. We receive that anointing of your Spirit with boldness to do your will, with boldness, Lord, to run with your plan, run with your purpose, God. In the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord. Honestly, wherever you're standing, if just to lay hands on one another, whether if you're sitting, just to, you know, the person next to you, to lay hands on them briefly. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for a boldness, Lord. We thank you for anointing. We thank you, God, for... I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Even as the apostles prayed, Lord, and even as the apostles... ask you, Lord, that you would fill them afresh. I pray in the name of Jesus that you fill us afresh with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, fill us to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Fill us from the toes to top, Lord, that we would overflow, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of your Spirit upon every soul, upon every adult and child in this family, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for anointing of boldness by your Spirit to do your will, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that whatever giant we face, that we boldly proclaim to them, we come in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the King of kings, the Creator of the universe. We do not come with our own agenda. We do not come because of a career. We are here for His purposes and His purposes alone. And we will see His purposes come to pass, even when you will be delivered to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the boldness that comes from your Spirit, Lord, not arrogance, a boldness to do your will, a boldness to walk in your way, a boldness to take your word and run with everything you give us to run with, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've anointed us, Lord, to do your will. Lord, we thank you that you've anointed us, God, to be in the local neighborhood, Father, but to go to the nations, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you've anointed us, God. You've called us to care for people, Father, in any way that you show us, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that you have anointed us and you've called us, Lord, to launch leaders, Lord, to launch powerful people, powerful men and women of God to do your will wherever you take them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God, by the power of your Spirit, that this we're going to see this happening, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that it's not by might and not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. God, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you come and extinguish every doubt in every heart, Father. We thank you that you help us, God, to look away from distractions of what this might be in the past or this might be in the future. And I thank you, God, for an anointing and a boldness to grab a hold of the season that we're in right now, to take a hold of your mandate and to run in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that those who wait on the Lord will not grow weary, Lord. That those who wait on the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles, God. I thank you for that anointing, Lord, that we will rise up on wings like eagles, that we will see what you see in Jesus' name. That we'll see even the unlikely choices, Lord, that we will see the heart, Lord, of what you see, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that we will run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. We will persevere and we will be persistent. And that what you have called us to do in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for everything that you've put on our hands. And I pray that you, even this week, you show us what you've put on our hands. What is our sling? What are the stones in our bag, Lord? And thank you that as we get practical next week, Lord, that you're going to open our eyes, that you're going to give us revelation, Lord. You're going to give us that excitement of saying, Lord, you've put us here. Lord, we're going to see people saved. We're going to see people healed, Lord. We thank you for salvations, Lord. We thank you for this community. It will never be the same again because of people, men and women of God, obeying the voice of the Father, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you that alongside other believers in this community, we will see this community transformed. We will see this nation changed because of your Spirit and because of your purposes, Lord. Because of your plans, God. And we thank you, God, for the redemptive purpose of this nation, God. We thank you, Lord, that right from the start, this nation has done extraordinary things with what seems very ordinary, a small nation, a small country. And I thank you that the same anointing that was on David's life is upon us, Lord, that ordinary people will do extraordinary things under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The normal people, ordinary people, average people will go on to do extraordinary people under the anointing of your Spirit, under the blessing of God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we give you praise in this place. We give you worship. As we worship now, I thank you, Lord, that we can lift up your name because you are the name above every name. There's no one worthy of our worship beside you. There's no one else that is worthy to be glorified. There's no one else worthy for us to lay our lives down for, Lord. And that's what we're doing now as we worship. We lay down our lives. We say, God, I want to run with you. We don't want to miss one thing that you've prepared for us. We don't want to miss one good work that you've prepared for us, God. In the name of Jesus, God. So as we worship you, Lord, be lifted up, Lord. Be exalted, God. As we worship, we make the declaration that we come in the name of the Lord of hosts. We came in his name, in Jesus' name. Let's worship God.